certainly have enjoyed what's gone on before us, and certainly feel like that what's on our heart will just continue with that line of reasoning. As a matter of fact, like Brother Kenneth didn't have to lay a foundation, I don't have to lay a foundation, a lot of what the foundation I intended, simply because of the things that's been preached. And so I just take that as thank you, Lord, for confirmation of blessing these messages to go together. Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. We may not get to a lot of this today, but we'll go ahead because it's very much in keeping with what has been said. Galatians 4, beginning in verse 4. But when the fullness of the time was come, we're talking about the birth of Christ. You know, you can go to Matthew and you can read about the Christmas story. You go to Luke, you can read about the Christmas story. You know, you can read about it elsewhere too. In Galatians 4:4, okay. When the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, right? Didn't make his son, he sent him forth. We've already heard that, right? All right? God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. All right? Now, he goes on to say, and because ye are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Who can receive this message? Those that God has sent his spirit into our heart. I believe we heard that already this morning. All right? So, but when the fullness of the time was come, and I don't want to rehash some of the things that's been said, but I want to focus mainly, I guess, on the fullness of the time. We've heard about the inspiration of Scripture. This is not just a history book. There's a lot of wonderful history here. As a matter of fact, the more I studied the Bible, the more I appreciate history. Good history. You know, it's been said that, you know, the winners of wars get to write the history books. So sometimes history is not an accurate reflection of what really went on. Well, bless your heart, you can trust this. It's the Word of God. It's inspired. It's inerrant. And so when we think about what God has given us is exactly right, and when he tells us something about what has happened, and he speaks about the fullness of the time, then that tells us a great deal. That this was not haphazard. This was what God intended from the foundation of the world. All right? And he's painting with a broad brush here now. Okay, so we're not talking about 1105 or something like that. We're talking about the time that God purposed for his son to come into this world. Okay, so when the fullness of the time was come, many prophecies had spoken of the virgin birth, spoken of where he would be born, the city, you know. So many things about that. You know, I think we've heard John 5:39. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Those scriptures testify of the Lord. All right, Jesus told the Jews that. But then also after his resurrection in Luke chapter 24, remember when they didn't understand, and he said, oh, fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken? Ought not Christ to have suffered these things? Don't you remember the prophecies? They're prophecies about the suffering of Christ. Isaiah 53 especially. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and entered into his glory? And it says, in beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Wow, would have loved to have heard that message. I would have loved to have sat there all day if I needed to hear him expound in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Okay? And so when we think about then, those prophecies were there. And just think now, there were many things that had to be orchestrated for everything to come just according to fulfill all those prophecies. Now, we're not talking about the absolute predestination of all things. We're not talking about that everything that happened was because God ordained. No, we're not talking about that. We're talking about the purpose of God being fulfilled. God had promised, God had purposed, and God promised through his word there would be a seed of the woman all the way back in the Garden of Eden, right? Okay, and that seed of the woman would bruise Satan's head. Okay, that was going to happen, all right? Genesis 49, when Jacob is being blessed to give prophecy to his sons about what would happen in the last days. Okay? Genesis 49. When he comes to verse 10, he says, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, till Shiloh come." Now this is Genesis. "Scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor lawgiver from between his feet, till Shiloh come. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be." And very quickly we understand that that scepter did not depart from Judah. That God promised to David that there would be one to sit upon his throne. And we know that in Acts chapter 2, when Peter on the day of Pentecost is preaching on that occasion, that he speaks of that fulfillment, that Christ is the one, that prophecy was made, that there would not ever be one that would, there would never be a lack, I'm not getting the right word, one to sit upon the throne. All right, and he speaks of how that David is speaking about Christ, that he is the one that came. And so Christ is raised up to sit on his throne. And I love to point out about that verse of scripture that those who believe that Jesus is going to come back and sit on a throne here in this world and reign for 1,000 years, that verse of scripture tells us that God's not going to bring him back to sit on that throne. God raised him up to sit on that throne. Bless your hearts. He's sitting on that throne right now. He's reigning right now. Okay? But getting back to that promise that was made to David, that not there would not fail a man to sit upon the throne. All right? And then that prophecy in Genesis 49, that the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet. Do you know, let's see, it was 2 Kings chapter 11. If you want to jot that down. 2 Kings chapter 11 tells us about something that happened where a wicked woman, the king's mother, the current king's mother, I believe, killed all of the seed royal. That is, all of those who had right to the throne of David, she killed them. She had them put to death. And she became the ruler. Athaliah, okay, remember her? But there was one little baby. One little baby she didn't get to. Joash was the name. He was hidden in a place in the temple for 6 years. And best I can tell, he was 7 years old when he began to reign. So that means he was a year old when they hid him. Boy, that must have been something to hide a baby for 6 years and nobody know about it. All right, but the prophecy was that there would not fail to be a man to sit upon the throne of David. And yet, don't you see the devil in this? Trying to wipe that out, trying to thwart the prophecy of God, trying to undermine the word of God. And so all but, well, as far as Athaliah thought, she thought all of them were killed. But they were hiding Joash. They were hiding one. God's word stood. And that one came to the throne. I don't have time to get into a lot of that. But that one came to the throne. And so that prophecy continued. that there was a man to sit upon the throne of David. Bless your hearts. God's word is right. The devil's never going to destroy it. Now, the devil's always causing people to question it. Hey, the devil's always causing people to try to discredit it. But it is the truth. And it will stand. Heaven and earth shall pass away, Jesus said, but my words shall not pass away. His word is sure. And so even though it got down to one heir to that throne, that's enough. God's word stood. And so we find that prophecy, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet till Shiloh come. Who is Shiloh? The Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus was born, you remember Herod had power. The scepter had not departed. Herod had power to put those babies to death. When he found out that he was mocked of the wise men, and they went home another way because God told them to go that way. And so we find that Herod, when he found out he was mocked, he had all the babies killed from, 2 years old. God had warned Joseph, and they had taken Jesus down to Egypt. But the point is, the scepter had not departed from Judah. But by the time it came for Christ to be crucified, the scepter had departed. Herod no longer had that authority. Jesus had to be turned over to the Jews. I'm sorry, to the Romans to be crucified. But that's okay, because that's just right according to prophecy. When you read Psalm 22, you find out that's a picture of Roman crucifixion. You know, if the Jews had put Jesus to death, they would have stoned him. But the scriptures, the prophets had already spoken. He had to be crucified. The scepter had not departed when Jesus was born, but it had departed when it came time for him to die. In the fullness of the time, God sent forth his Son. And that one that he sent, as Brother Richman told us earlier, did not come into being at that point. He was the Son of God as the Word of God, what we heard later. He was as the Word of God with the Father in the beginning. Okay? But I want to notice Micah 5 and 2, that prophecy that does speak about where Jesus would be born. Micah 5 and 2, but thou Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth. Listen to how this one that's to come forth is described. Out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel. Wasn't Jesus born King of the Jews? That's right. He was born Savior. He was born King. All right? And he says something else here. Whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. When the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son. He was already his Son. But he designed a way for Emmanuel, God with us, to come into this world, to grow up, to be, to have a body of flesh. You know, Hebrews 2:14, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, that's us. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death and deliver them, that is the devil, and deliver them who fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. I think I left out a phrase, but that's okay. All their lifetime was such. God sent his Son in the fullness of time to save his people from their sins. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son. Made of a woman. That speaks of the virgin birth, doesn't it? We talked about the seed of the woman in Genesis chapter 3. We talked about Isaiah 7:14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth the son. Something was said about some other translations of the or to other versions of the Bible. Some of them say a young woman shall conceive. Well, what kind of a sign is that? When the Lord gives a sign, he gives an indisputable sign. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel. God with us. That's how he can be all man and all God, because this God-man, he's God with us. We're made in the image of, you know, he said, let us make man in our own image. Okay? So even man himself is in the image of God, but he's not God. But this man we're talking about, he is God. He is Emmanuel, God with us. Sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law to redeem them that were under the law. When we read the scriptures, we find that his people are more than just the natural descendants of Abraham. God gave us a natural example in the Old Testament of a natural nation born the seed of Abraham, coming down through Isaac and Jacob. All right, he gives us that seed. He told Abraham, "In thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." So Jesus came to save more than just Abraham's seed. Of course, now a lot of times when you're reading about Abraham's seed, it's speaking about Christ. But we're talking about Jesus came to save more than just the seed of Abraham. Okay, Romans 9 tells us, "For they are not all Israel, which are of Israel." Okay. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9 speaks about how he has redeemed us by thy blood out of every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. When God would tell Abraham about the kind of posterity that he would have, he called him out and told him, look into the heavens and tell the stars if thou be able to count them. You know, tell the stars if thou be able to count them. You know, on a clear night, even in our part of the world, there's no way you're going to ever count the stars. Now, I've seen, and some of you have seen, I haven't seen it personally, but I've seen pictures. Some of you have seen it personally, that you'd be out on the desert where there's no lights around on a clear night, and it's just breathtaking. How many stars? God gave that object lesson to Abraham so that every time he would look up and see the stars, it would remind him that God said, "So shall thy seed be." When we speak of the doctrines of election, when we speak of predestination, we're not talking about a small number of people. We're talking about a host that's innumerable to us, but known individually by God. And they're the ones that Jesus was purposed to save. They're the ones he came to save. They're the ones he did save when he shed his precious blood to redeem us from our sins. Hebrews 9:12 says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he hath entered once into the holy place, having obtained, sounds like it's finished to me, having obtained eternal redemption for us. That rests, that redemption, that security rests in the finished work of Jesus Christ. But if he sent his spirit into our hearts, enabling us to cry, "Abba, Father," if you from within you, if you have the Spirit of God in you and you can cry, "Abba, Father," it's because you are a son. It's because he did choose you. It's because Jesus has died for you. You are his child. Amen. And so whatever we do in response to God, whatever we do in asking of God, whatever we do seeking God and His help and salvation and whatever, is because we are sons. Because He sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, in the fullness of time. God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law to redeem them that were under the law. Aren't you thankful He was born? Amen. Aren't you thankful that He came and He did the will of the Father? I don't rejoice in the fact that He died, but I rejoice in what He accomplished in His death. I guess I could hope I said that right. Bless your heart. That's our hope. That's the Christmas story. Yes, He was born, but He told us to remember His death. And in His death, He saved. And that's what the angel proclaimed to Joseph. Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save. When Simeon took that little baby up in his arms, and Simeon was able to say, Lord, now lettest Thou Thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen Thy salvation. He saw it. Oh, he was just a little baby, but he was already the Savior. He was already King. He was already the Son of God. And it was just a matter of time before He would finish what the Father sent Him to do and say, it's finished. He's gone back to heaven, but that's okay. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. He's there to make intercession for us, and we're waiting for our King to come back to take us home to be with Him forever. May God bless us with a deeper appreciation for the precision, the truth, the accuracy, the comprehensiveness of God's Word, because He has told us His will. May God bless you is our prayer.